What's going on, everybody? New week, new episode of Americanon. As always, I'm your host, HVK. And once again, I got my partner in crime, V. What's going on, brother?
Here. What's up, everybody? Good to be back.
So, interesting stuff, right? And so Suicide Squad, that's the interesting stuff. Now, I kind of made my thoughts known on Twixer about Suicide Squad, so I'm not really going to dwell on Suicide Squad itself, that game, but I was kind of talking to you just before we started recording, V. Suicide Squad brought something to light to me that I've been struggling to put voice to, and it was one of those things where it's like all the puzzle pieces fell in place, right? And we've talked about it a lot. A lot of people have talked about it a lot because English is hard.
Yeah, words are very hard.
The whole like Japanese pop culture versus Western, or particularly in this case, I'm just going to focus on American pop culture, and why a lot of people have been shifting to the Japanese one. And at the end of the day, I don't think it has as much to do with art styles or, you know, pronouns and all that crap as much as what I kind of realized with Suicide Squad. And Suicide Squad does have that, by the way. One of my favorite, I was telling you before, one of the great things about streamers is you don't actually have to spend your own money on games that you know are going to be shit to know exactly what that game is, because you can just watch some other poor bastard play it and go, wow, that guy spent his money on this. That's tragic. But they have like,
and you don't even have to feel bad about it because you didn't spend your money on it, which is less tragic.
I didn't feel bad at all. I think the guy I was watching, I'm not going to mention him, because he was kind of, you know, you could tell he was, he had gotten like the free copy kind of thing, because he's a relatively popular streamer. And even with the free copy, you could see he was struggling to say positive things about the game. He's just like, wow, the controls are really smooth. And it's like,
it's like, they're supposed to be.
It's really, really
that much money on a goddamn game.
A third person over the shoulder shooter, literally utilizing a very similar control scheme to Gears of War from 20 years ago. And it's actually smooth and works. Color me fucking shocked.
Go figure.
But no, they have a sign at one point. You're walking through this building and there's a sign hanging from the ceiling and it says, "We welcome all heroes," and it's flanked on either side by the Phalanx rainbow flag.
Yes.
But now the Phalanx rainbow flag has like a yellow triangle in it with a purple circle.
Oh, it's Super Saiyan.
Oh yeah. I had to look that shit up. Apparently that includes hermaphrodites. They call them intersex. I'm old school, so I'm calling them hermaphrodites. So
wait, nah, there's really like,
yes, new... I'm not going to get into it right now. But yes, they included it. And I noticed that the rainbow is just getting smaller and smaller. So eventually, gay people will be pushed out of the whole gay LGB, whatever. They're just not going to be there anymore. It's just going to be the T's and the Hermes. And
it'll be, won't that be better for the rest for them though?
Probably, to be honest with you. They're like, oh my god, we're free.
We're free. It'll be like that scene of Family Guy, except instead of black people, it'll be gay people. Can you
just remember the
brand new day?
The black and brown people, they get a stripe on the phalanx that's taken over the rainbow, so
right.
The gays may be free, but the blacks, you guys are not going anywhere.
Yeah. No, they have they have to. My people always get the shit out of the stick.
But no, they have a sign there and it just says, "We welcome all heroes," and it's got this thing there, and I'm like, this is so painfully obvious, right? Like it's just so painfully obvious. But that's not the point. The real point is that game kind of made me hit that like epiphany point of it's the style of storytelling. And when I say style of storytelling, what I mean by that is it is an optimistic worldview storytelling versus a pessimistic one. And I want to define that a little bit just so everybody's clear about what I am meaning by that. And we were kind of talking about it beforehand. There's a lot of very mature, whether it's shonen or whatever, on the anime and manga side, coming from Japan, you can have stuff that is dark. You can have stuff that is serious. You can have stuff that is very adult, for lack of a better term. And it never loses this kind of hopeful, optimistic outlook on things, right? And a perfect example of that, we talked about it before, is Full Metal Alchemist. Yeah. Arguably one of the greatest things I have ever seen in my life.
One of my personal favorites as well.
Which is why I always bring it up. And Winry was one of the only unanimous S-tier girls that we all voted for in our little tiering system. So,
yeah, we sent her a trophy. Disclaimer, yeah. We did not actually send her a trophy. She doesn't exist.
Yeah. we emailed the writer, and she was just like, who are you weirdos?
Who are you guys?
And
why did you email me in English?
And why did I respond in English? But it's a show that, even out of the gate, right? Like, out of the gate, Ed and Alphonse, their dad walks out, their dad is gone, the mother dies.
Tragically.
They one of them is a cripple, the other one is a disembodied soul,
and they wind up bringing back the perverse.
and then the only way for them to even have a shot at getting all these back is they have to literally work for a completely totalitarian, tyrannical government. That's five. Like, out of the gate, that's five negatives. And somehow, the show never becomes mean-spirited. It never becomes nihilistic. It never becomes any of these things. Somehow, it maintains this sort of positivity of it. And it's not like the getting shit on stops. There's, oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm forgetting the colonel's name now. Mustang's friend.
Yeah. Hughes,
right? Like, he gets killed. There's the whole thing that they find along the way, like the guy that transmutes his daughter with the like, there's some really dark shit. Yeah. That happens throughout the course of this whole event. The journey that they end up finding themselves on. And, you know, Alphonse is even questioning whether or not he was ever actually a real person. There's a lot of heavy stuff that happens along the way, but it never loses this sense of optimism, right? Juxtapose that for a second with the Suicide Squad, which has a completely mean-spirited, pessimistic view. Now, I said this before when I did my little rant thing on Twixer, that you can do a villain-centric story or game or whatever, and you can do it while still being the villain, doing villain shit, but it doesn't come across as like mean-spirited or nasty or any of these sorts of things, right? I think to some extent Borderlands, I think, is a good example, especially like Borderlands 2, if you've ever played it, is kind of a good example of this, right? Like, you're playing a bunch of murderous mercenaries.
Yeah, not exactly the hero types.
No, right? And you do have some questionable interactions with people along the way, but it just kind of keeps it like upbeat the entire time, right? There's nothing mean-spirited about what's happening in there. Again,
and even though they're using like crude humor and like adult themes and things like that, it's still not mean-spirited. You're right. I agree.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, to anyone who would say that, oh, you know, well, you're comparing, like, let's take even Dragon Ball, for example, right? Like, oh, you know, Dragon Ball does maintain its optimism. Goku is like the perennial optimist, right? There's nothing naive or immature or anything about that, right? Because that optimism, that positive worldview, is one of the things that allows these characters to kind of overcome what they are experiencing. Even Berserk, the darkest of dark shit,
that has the darkest story of all time.
The literal darkest story, right?
You should see the trophy for that one.
Guts, despite everything that he's going through, and this literal hell of a life that he has these, even though his narratives are, like, his own internal dialogue and whatnot, tend to seem very, like, none of this matters, it does actually, because he never gives up, and you see that, right? You see that there is this sense of this whole journey matters, and then he meets Casca, and sure, a lot of shit goes sideways there, frankly, because it's Berserk and he can't have nice things, but that's there's it still maintains a sort of overall optimistic, positive worldview that you can somehow face these insurmountable odds and overcome them, even when it feels like literally everything is arrayed against you, right? Juxtapose that with the Suicide Squad, where what do you do when these characters are there and they're mind controlled and you have all these things? And it matters because I'm going to bring up the Wonder Woman thing, which I have previously, but I'm going to reiterate it. What did we end up doing? And don't give me it's the villains being villains thing. You have this emasculation and Harley Quinn, you know, dressing down moment of Batman. They piss on the Flash. They strip Jon Stewart down to his boxers and leave his dead body in the street in his underwear. Then there's Jon Stewart's profile, and sure, it's written by Deadshot, who's magically black now, and he basically calls Jon Stewart a race stripper.
Can we stop there for a second, too? Like, Deadshot doesn't become black because Will Smith played him once.
But that's what makes it even... What's even funnier about it is, again, this is a sequel to the Arkham games. It's the same universe, or at least that's what they say. So if this is a sequel to the Arkham games, and we met Deadshot twice... He was white both times. Their excuse was, well, that was an imposter. Wow. You guys are like Shakespearean levels of storytelling. Wow. Let me tell you.
Who knew with one sentence you could explain an entire race change?
It's like, really? The guy that has Deadshot's literal history, literal backstory, literal everything is an imposter.
Imposter.
And the Deadshot... flashbacks with. Apparently, because Deadshot's black... My only explanation that he put up with this for so long is he was getting stoned and listening to Bob Marley because he's black. So what else would he be doing with his free time? He's not going to do anything before noon, right? So that's why he let this imposter Deadshot run around and do whatever the hell he was going to do. Anyway, he basically identifies Jon Stewart as a race traitor. That's nice because Jon Stewart was a Marine. And he happens to be a Green Lantern that is basically a space cop, therefore race traitor, right? Ah, yes. Very, very positive, optimistic worldview we have there. And then you enter Wonder Woman. And this is where I say it's mean-spirited. Everybody else gets shit on, but Wonder Woman, now all of a sudden, all the cynicism gets dropped. And they're like, oh my God, Wonder Woman, you're so great. And Deadshot's like, I can pick you up and take you to a medic. And I'm like, wait a minute. You could argue the villains being villains thing up until that point, when now all of a sudden Wonder Woman is like the savior. She's basically female Jesus, is what they make her sound like. And I'm watching this all play out, and I'm like, it's just a very negative, cynical, and I'm not even going to get into the whole intersectional, like, you know, feminism thing. It's just, there's a very negative, cynical view of things. And part of that is the cynical view of masculinity, which Japan doesn't have. Ironically enough, Japan also doesn't have a cynical view of femininity, so those things can be balanced. But everything about it is very mean-spirited, very negative. Another example that's been very popular, and to an extent I understand it, and to a lesser extent I don't understand it, is Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones has a very negative view of masculinity, for example. Why? Why do we have such a negative view? And everything in Game of Thrones has a very pessimistic view of people, a pessimistic view of the world, a pessimistic view of everything, a very nihilistic view of everything. What's funny is that the ending they give you is kind of born out of that nihilistic worldview, and then everybody was upset they got the nihilistic ending, and I'm like, well, yeah, what did you expect?
You got the nihilistic ending for the nihilistic story.
Did you think things that were just going to work out and be happy? To
magically be happily ever after? Did you think that's where this car was going?
But that's my point, is that Japan is overall writing stories that have a very optimistic, a positive worldview, and it's positive storytelling. Even when the story is very dark. The Western juxtaposition with that is they try to mask that mean-spirited negativity with what they consider quote-unquote humor. I don't consider urinating on somebody who's supposed to be a heroic figure to be humor, but whatever. That was the epiphany I had. That's the juxtaposition, and that's why Japan is kind of winning in the pop culture sense. Now, I know you're going to have quite a bit to say on that. But I think it holds up across many things that you can compare it with. Look at Spider-Man. We talked before about how Spider-Man got cucked and all this other kind of stuff, how Spider-Man gets talked down to by all these people. He never stands up for himself. He never does anything.
I mean, if you even look at figures like Superman at this point, you know what I'm saying? Even Superman's kind of like where they took his story to a point where he was ready to give up, didn't see the point of trying to be a hero anymore. And that's not really where you want to see your heroes. It's like going back
Superman,
to that notion.
Superman doesn't believe in the American way. It's like,
exactly. That's like, it's them giving up. It's that hopelessness that you were talking about. Because a lot in just Japanese culture itself, hope is such a major like part of their culture. And like, even when you're listening to their music and things like that,
I wouldn't even say that the hope is the part of the culture so much as the idea of having a better tomorrow that you actually have to work towards. Exactly. Right? Like, hope isn't a plan. You actually have to believe you can make something better, as opposed to all of the Westerners where it's just kind of like, well, this sucks. This is evil. And not like, again, the Superman American Way thing that you brought up, I think, is a perfect example. It's not like, yeah, you know what? We can still reform things for the better. But, you know, or excuse me, it's not even a matter of like, we can reform things for the better. Instead, they go the total opposite direction of, well, we just need to abandon it.
Yeah, just leave it all behind. And that's like, it's not what these kinds of heroic stories are about. You know what I mean? Because yes, that's a whole conversation to be had, but somewhere that's not the place for myths and legends. That's what makes myths and legends heroic. You know what I mean? That fact that they have that hope, that's what people latch onto. So when you try to remove that element, yes, you're appeasing a certain crowd or a certain genre, but it's why it's not going like the way that it used to, the way that it should, because you removed that element of it, you removed heroism from heroes.
Think it a little bit of personal philosophy here. Like, you've heard me say it plenty. I think humans are born, we are nasty, vicious, brutish creatures by definition. And we have to work hard through a lot of discipline, through a lot of sacrifice, to become something that approaches, not even become, but something that approaches a righteous being. Takes a lot of effort. Cue Goku, I guess, right? I mean, Saiyan's probably being worse in that regard, but it takes a lot of effort on the part of a person to be that, right? But, and here's the interesting human dichotomy. The fact that you bring up myths and legends, the fact that so many myths and legends throughout many cultures across time have this sort of sense of, no matter how bad things are, there's a sense of optimism, right? Whether it's something like the story of Odysseus, whether it's something like the story of the, you know, Hercules and the 12 trials of Hercules and all that sorts of things, whether it's like the King Arthur story or the St. George story or whatever it is, like these things across generations and across time, and even modern myths when it comes into something like Batman or Spider-Man or hell, the story of Jesus himself, if you want to go in that direction with it as well. The fact is that even if humans are horrible, vicious, brutish creatures by nature, we are also very hopeful creatures by nature. Jordan Peterson called it, it's something more true than being true. And when he calls it a meta-truth, right? Like, this is part of the human condition that if you don't have this sort of outlook of, I can do, you know, make myself better, and I have to have this optimistic worldview, and if I do these things, I can make myself better, and I can build a better world for me and my family, my kids, and then they can do it for their kids, and it can become a generational thing and whatever, and you adopt this very nihilistic worldview, that basically leads to you being like some of the horrible, nasty people that we see. It's just, you're left with nothing but your base nature, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why I feel like humans almost have to have that hopeful outlook. And then what do you get when you remove that from the heroic narrative? You no longer have a heroic narrative, and now you're just left with nihilistic cynicism. And that's what you see in like the Suicide Squad game, right? Again, you can do the villain game and you can have it be irreverent and kind of funny and do all, you know, whatever. Like, there's plenty of ways you can do that. There's plenty of ways you can have fun with it. And you could even embarrass the heroes a little bit. Hell, you could even have it where the Suicide Squad, because let's face it, half of them are Batman villains and he's been whooping your ass for years. You could almost have it where they fall ass backwards into beating him. You know what I mean? Like, you're the group of incompetent people and you somehow find a way to beat the guy who's the utmost competent because A, he's mind controlled, and B, it just sort of happened to work out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it makes perfect sense. Like, there's like, so many other ways to do it rather than tearing down the symbols of heroism and making a mockery of them.
But these people that are writing these things, as you and I both well know and have both talked about, it is an attack on heroism. They don't believe in heroism because, frankly, they don't believe you can actually work to get better. They think, by and large, it's a weird dichotomy that they have. If my dichotomy is very hypocritical on some level because it contradicts, you know, what I believe people are with what I believe people aim towards, for lack of a better term, they look at it as you're born perfect, right? How many times you're perfect the way you are. God, you're born perfect.
Mm-mm.
But humans are also useless, horrible creatures, and the world would be better off if none of us existed. I will take my dichotomy. Mine at least makes more sense than that.
That is not as sharp of a turn.
Yeah, like, who could possibly say you are born perfect the way you are, and you, everyone should not exist? Everyone should accept you for what you are, but things would still be better if your ass was not never here. It's a weird thing, and that comes through in the storytelling, right? It always feels a little bit psychotic, for lack of a better term, in that bipolar. I'm going to use bipolar. I think bipolar is a little better.
Damn.
But no, it really put that into focus with me. We even talked about Black Clover, right? Which I've told you before. I love you to death, bro. I'm not watching Black Clover all the way through. I can't.
Nah, you wouldn't be able to handle it. Nah, that's like trying to recommend Naruto to you. I could not look at you with a straight face and tell you were going to enjoy Naruto.
You know what, though? Naruto is interesting because I kind of see where it's going. Knowing where, without ever even watching it, knowing what's coming and knowing the fact that in some level it's a Dragon Ball clone, which I know Naruto fans hate hearing, but...
But it is.
You can have a clone of something and it still be good. So I'm not good. Saying the show
and
is
still
shit.
Be its own thing.
They actually do the generational thing that I'm talking about. Right? Like Naruto, his quest centers around his dad on some level, if my memory serves, right? I've watched some of the show, but there's something to do with his dad, right?
Sort of kind of. It comes around.
And everything, he goes through this entire quest arc, and then he has a kid, and he trains his kid, and his kid, by all accounts, from what I've seen, supposedly is better than he is. And that's kind of what you want, right? Like, as a father, when I look at my kids, it's like, I need you to be everything I am and then some.
So, and I tell you, Black Clover has very, very similar character growth in it. But when I tell you, you will not be able to listen to Naruto for more than 5 episodes before throwing the TV out the window. I just know you, HBK. I just know you.
To be fair, I have tried several times to watch both Naruto and One Piece.
Yeah, and One Piece is one of those too.
It's just, I'm not even saying it's bad. I'm saying it's definitely not for me. Mm-hmm. Black Clover, I think, has a lot of interesting psychology behind it, which I'm not even going to get into that. We can do an entire other episode on talking about some of that sort of stuff, because all of those Dragon Ball, Naruto, Black Clover, Full Metal Alchemist, a lot of these tap into also what I've kind of been dancing around as well, because I think it's a completely separate topic, which is the how Japan does embrace the concepts of masculinity and femininity, whereas the West is trying to abolish both of them, right?
Yeah.
Like, one of them is clearly saying, like, here's what a man is, here's what a woman is, and here's how both of you can be stronger together.
Yeah.
And the other one is, what is a woman? One is very confused, and the other has a clear sight of the future. But that's a whole nother topic. But I think that the you know, the cynicism never enters the fray with any of these, right? Like, these characters in many ways are inherently born with faults, flaws, negatives that they have to overcome. Asta is not a wizard in a wizard world full of wizards, right? Yeah,
that's a pretty good obstacle.
Naruto has certain familial things that are kind of intertwined into his story. well, yes, they're dead. He's got the Batman complex going. Yeah. Like, but there's never the cynical aspect to it. I think Full Metal Alchemist is the best example, in my opinion. Berserk, too. I mean, frankly, like, if anybody has a right to be like a horrible, nasty world, it is the world of Berserk. Yeah. And yet, as dark as that, and that world is fucking dark, man. Yeah. Like, even talking about what goes on in that would probably get put on a list.
Oh, yeah. Immediately.
Like, the dude...
All the buzzword, FBI buzzwords in a row.
Oh, yeah. We would be on a list immediately. Just like, oh, you read this, huh? Yeah, I did.
Woo, woo, woo.
It's like you would get put on a list faster for reading Berserk than you would reading, like, the Anarchist Cookbook. And it's right? Like... It's like, this one taught you how to make bombs and shit, but this one's Berserk.
This was fucked.
But no, I think at the end of the day, I'm trying to avoid going down to rabbit holes. I think that's, at the end of the day, the long and short of it, right? I think it's positive storytelling insofar as having optimistic views of the future, the direction the characters are going, versus a very cynical, negative, all these things are stupid, none of this is important, none of this matters. And then on some level, it's like, if it doesn't matter, then what does matter, right? You never give anything to replace that. Everything is constantly, oh, it's fake, what does it matter? Oh, it's this, what does it matter? Oh, it's that, what does it matter? And it's like, okay, but what does matter, right? It's just, when you're just constantly telling people about what doesn't matter, and you never say, okay, well, give me a definition of what does matter. Pronouns apparently matter. That's the thing that matters most.
Yeah, no, I can't buy that one.
hey, Suicide Squad, just for those who think I'm wrong, just some hard, fast facts for you real quick. Suicide Squad, this came out not that long ago. It's from a website called The Gaming Bible. No, Jesus doesn't make a guest appearance. Suicide Squad, kill the Justice League, refund search requests have risen by 761% since release.
What? The game everybody hated before it came out didn't do well?
No, they bought it. It's the people that bought it, they wanted to return it.
Yeah, I know, but they wanted to return it
so bad that literally websites have dedicated entire articles because they knew people would click on it and they can get that ad revenue. Like this one from Video Gamer, how to easily refund Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League game on all platforms.
They had that shit ready to go.
Bravo.
They knew.
Fucking bravo. Because they knew. They were like, yep, this game is shit, and we are just going to be ready.
Playtests were, a lot of people on the internet were predicting that that game was not
going to. They are going to do a left turn on this so hard and bring Batman and all these characters back. And this is what's worse. They're bringing the Joker. God, I'm not going to do it. They're bringing the Joker back too, which is even funnier because now they're just like, yeah, and multiverses. Again, this is an Arkham sequel. Right. You could have just said this takes place in a different world and nobody would care. I mean, it would still be negative, cynical garbage and people would be like, wow, this is horrible. And you probably still have a 761% return rate, which, hey, good job. You probably set some sort of a record. But at least then you
might have gotten another game.
At least then you don't need to turn around and go, hey, yeah, we're going to bring the Joker in. Well, the Joker's been dead for two games in this universe. It's okay. Multiverse. Ah, yes. My favorite answer for everything. Because again, none of it matters. It doesn't matter. God. And then people will still wonder. And they'll turn around and the next... what's the game Stellar Blade that everybody's been talking about that I know nothing about? That's some Japanese game or Korean game or whatever. I think it's a Japanese one. Stellar Blade. That'll sell really well. And then they'll turn around and be like, look, guys, video game industry is booming. And it's like, yeah, because of everyone's buying the Japanese games. Apparently, the people that do the Final Fantasy VII remake just rejected a bunch of DEI stuff, and they're going to make Tifa sexy again or some shit like that. That's what I need. I need Trump on a campaign trail with a shirt that says "Make Tifa sexy again." I was going to vote for him anyway, but I would vote for him twice. I'd pull a Democrat on that shit and vote for him twice.
I'm saying the world is safer when I don't vote.
I'll take your vote. I'll pull a Democrat. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's a joke. Although all my dead relatives suddenly vote Democrat. It's weird. Anyway, not going to get into it.
There you go.
I just thought it was... like I said, I thought it was a topic worth hitting. I don't want to beat a dead horse. We're a half hour into it. Are you good with this one, V?
Yeah, I am.
So if you guys do happen to want some positive storytelling, I cannot recommend Full Metal Alchemist enough. It has some really deep shit, like philosophically, morally, ethically, some really, really deep stuff. It is undoubtedly, like, V, again, thank you for recommending this to me. It is undoubtedly, I would go so far as to argue that it is the best show that I have ever seen, bar none, hands down. Like,
and also, if you can stomach the weirdness of it, Attack on Titan is a very good example of being able to have a very nihilist world with a very hopeful feel to it.
Because this is true.
Like the humans are out of it.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I'm not an Attack on Titan fan, but they do still, like, it's an apocalyptic story. Like, the people are losing, but there's this sense of, we can get through this.
Yeah, the entire time.
So,
it's all over the place, but it, you know, again, and recommendation if you guys want it.
And here's the funny thing, right? Looking at how Suicide Squad is, and looking how a lot of the nihilistic stories that you get from Marvel and DC and whatnot are, the stakes never feel real with them. But yet in stuff like Full Metal or Attack on Titan, or hell, even in Dragon Ball to some extent, and they wish everybody back in that show.
The stakes, you can't have a death when they don't come back.
The stakes feel real. I remember the first time I watched the Cell Saga and Goku didn't come back, and it's like, holy shit. Like, the stakes are real.
Yeah.
Like, all of these shows, the stakes are real, yet again, there's nothing naive or immature about any of these things. In fact, I think it's far more naive and far more immature and far easier, frankly, to have this very pessimistic, negative worldview and have storytelling that follows suit. I just think it's easier. Because, the world is kind of a shitty and arbitrary place sometimes. Very easy to have a negative view.
But that's uncreative. That's just looking around.
Yeah, and it also is useless.
Yeah.
George Martin. But anyway, I digress. I wish I could, I wish I could plagiarize Tolkien and make millions of dollars.
You can.
Plagiarize Martin.
All it costs is your soul.
Hey. Well, when you're George, apparently for George Martin, all it cost him was a couple of heart valves.
Yeah. Still a pretty good deal, man.
All right. You good, V?
I'm good, brother.
All right. That's all we got for this one. The end.